Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. I'm excited to hang out with you guys again tonight. Excited to just enjoy the word with each other. We can't be with each other in person just yet on Wednesday nights, but we can still do it this way and works just fine. Hope you guys are comfortable like always. Hope you're sitting somewhere good, somewhere cool today. It's hot out. So before we get started, we'll just jump right into prayer and then we'll get into the message tonight, talking about sometimes we need some time to process this. Be thinking about that phrase. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you just for your many blessings. We thank you for your covering and your protection, God, and just your looking out for us, God, on the daily, whether it's safety or whether it's helping us make decisions or protecting us from things that are going to cause us harm or just areas we shouldn't go to. You just help us on the regular with that, and I just am thankful for that today. I thank you just for helping us to see you maybe in a better light or in a new light on the daily. It just helps us to see different sides of you that maybe we haven't seen before. I pray that you would be with our church family tonight. I pray that you would just minister to the needs that are in the family, God, and minister to those who need you, whatever that may be. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a need meter, that you can go and be exactly what is going to fulfill that need. And I just thank you for that and just that awesome power that you have. I pray that you would be with us tonight, God. Help me to stay out of the way of this and let you speak what you would have spoken this evening to your people. And help it to challenge us and just to kind of encourage us when times we're kind of in that limbo time. And just to learn that you do have a plan for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, tonight we're going to talk about some times in our life when maybe we feel like, just kind of that phrase, I'm going to need some time to process this. And I felt like I've said that a few times in my life. Usually it's after a big shocking announcement of some sort, good or bad. And I remember when Brianna told me we were having both Kenna and Siler, It was an awesome event, but it was an event that caught me, and I was like, oh, wow, that's great. On the inside, I'm thinking, I'm going to need a little time to process this. And I think sometimes in our life, we kind of have those situations as well. And referring tonight to sometimes in our life, we experience a time where we feel like God promises us something, but we don't get to lay hold of that immediately. And what happens is sometimes we get frustrated or sometimes we even give up on that promise or a calling or something like that from God because it's not that instantaneous, here it is, I said this to you, take hold of it kind of thing. And it's common. We're used to being able to do everything within a few minutes. You know, I can go get a pizza for $5 and have dinner in 35 seconds, whereas when I was growing up, most of the time, we had to cook everything we ate. So even if it was frozen from the fridge, it still took 20 or 30 minutes in the oven. So we're used to that instant mentality, and it causes us to sometimes miss some of the most awesome things from God. And tonight, we're going to talk about a man, one of my favorite characters of the Bible. We're going to talk about Joseph, who, when he was younger, he had a dream, and in that dream, he basically saw himself above and ruling over his brothers, and, you know, that was something that he felt like was definitely from God, but it took a long time for that to come to pass, and it took a long, hard road for him to be able to experience what he felt like was a promise from God. So, the first point we're going to talk about tonight is that sometimes when God promises us something or he calls us into something, one of the first steps that happens is separation. And we can look here directly at Joseph and his, let me get this pulled up here in my Bible. And what happened when Joseph was separated here. And we see in Genesis chapter 37, we'll start in verse 5 and then 9 and 10. And this is going back to where the scripture where Joseph had a dream. And it says, verse 5 says, then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down before it. It bowed down to my sheaf. And then 9 through 11 says, then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Look, he said, I had another dream, and at this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. What kind of dream is this that you've had? He said, are your mother and your brothers and I going to come bow down on the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So initially, we see that this is something that was definitely God speaking to him and telling him that at some point in his life, he was going to be raised up, not only above his brothers, but also above his mom and dad. And to see that he was going to be in that position of authority, in that position of being able to give, and all of that that entailed, which would have been an incredible thing because he was the youngest of his brothers. And what we were talking about before, the first point that allowed him to move from that where he was and into that promise, the first part of that process was separation. And we see that in Genesis chapter 37 as well. And this starts in chapter 26, or verse 26, and goes roughly through 28 here. It says, then Judah said to his brothers, what do we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And they agreed, and when Midianite traders passed by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took Joseph to Egypt. So Joseph has this thing. He's like super excited about it, wants to tell his brothers. And I can imagine, you know, when something really exciting happens in my life, I really want to go tell my family and my brothers. They're some of the first people I tell about awesome things that are happening. And so Joseph's excited. He goes to him and he tells him. Well, they're mad because he's the youngest and he's going to be the one that's ruling over them and all those things. But they didn't want to hear it because, I mean, I'm the oldest in my family. And if my younger brother came to me and said that to me, I'd be upset with him too. There's a certain pecking order that comes in families, oldest to youngest and biggest to smallest and all those things. And Joseph was bucking that pecking order. And we see that his brothers didn't like that. So they sold him into slavery. Sold him to the Ishmaelites, got him out of there. He's not even in their hometown anymore. They sent him to Egypt. So the first thing that happens when we see the promise of God in the preparation or the process that sends us to that promise and it helps us to lay hold of it, the first thing we have to experience sometime is separation. And when I think about this in my life, I think about there are a couple of different kinds of separation here that we can see, you know, today. You're probably not going to get sold into slavery today and sent to Egypt. That may happen, but I doubt it. It's fairly rare. But some things that you might experience are having to separate from the old way of doing things, having to separate from, you know, the priorities that you may have. Maybe in your life before God had showed you what He wants to give you, you had a certain set of priorities that, you know, you had your job, your family, your kids, your house, your boat, your truck, your whatever, all of those things. But sometimes God starts to remove us and separate us from those things that are a little more temporal than the things that are going to be eternal and move us in that direction. And that separation sometimes causes us to separate from people or groups of people that we've associated with before. And it typically causes some pain, and it typically causes some just difficult situations. And I know some times in my life where I've experienced that, and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I needed to separate from this or separate because whatever was taking up too much of my focus, I needed to get rid of it to move closer to God. It's uncomfortable. We don't like that. We go from doing the microwave thing to having to cook something in the oven, and it takes a little more work, and it's just difficult. We don't like that as Americans. We're grown, and we were born into this ideal that when we want things, we can have them immediately. So first thing to remember, on the road to God's promise, the process, the first thing it includes a lot of times is separation from what we were before, situations we were in, or maybe people we've hung out with before, to allow us to move further into what He would call us. So looking forward into what Joseph's life and his journey, we see that when he's taken to Egypt, and he just is living there for a while, and he gets to where he's employed by this guy named Potiphar. And through a series of events, Potiphar basically entrusts most of the kingdom to him, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. But he gets into where he has to prove himself in the next step of what we're talking about in the sanctification. So we'll read chapter 38 in Genesis. We'll read somewhere 7 to 15-ish and go from there. Switch chapters here. So chapter 37, I'm sorry, not 39. All right, 39, verse 7. 38 is talking about Judah and his wife. We don't need to learn about that right now. So, chapter 39, verse 7. It says, "After some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.' But he refused. 'Look,' he said to his master's wife, 'with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. He has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such a great evil and sin against God?'" Verse 10 says, "Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. So now one day he went in to do the work, to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, 'Sleep with me.' But leaving his garment in his hand, he escaped and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called the household servants. 'Look,' she said to him, 'my husband's brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could. When he heard me screaming for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside.'" So we see that because of his level of authority, and the scripture right before that, the last part of verse 6, it says that Joseph was a handsome dude. And so Joseph's this guy. He's in this situation where his boss's wife is there. She's trying to seduce him in a way, and he has to prove that his intentions are good. And a lot of times that's what happens in our life, is I feel like God allows us to be separated, and then we move into this place where we have to prove our, I guess, allegiance and intentions of our hearts. And what that means in real life to us is that a lot of times we get tempted by desires of the flesh, and we get tempted after that separation to go back into that old lifestyle and to pursue the things that our flesh wants again, whether that be things or money or finances or relationships that are just not godly, and all of those things that begin to try to steer us off track and to take us from the path that God is leading us on. And Joseph, in this, he did that. He proved that his intentions were good. He proved that, you know, he could resist the lust of the flesh, and because of that, he ultimately made somebody mad and had to go through another difficult situation, but was part of God's process as well. So moving in from God telling us a promise to actually achieving that promise, first step is separation. Get away from it. Move into more like God, less like Logan, less like whoever you are, or less like whoever you were, and moving into what God would have us to be. The second part would be, after we've done that, resist the urge to go back to that. Become sanctified. Become set apart. Become that thing that has a specific duty that is different than normal, worldly, daily stuff. And I think that's where we begin to prove our dedication and our drive to God. And I feel like when we begin to do that and we begin to make efforts to stay that course, we see that God begins to bless us. And we can stay faithful in those smaller things. He can entrust us with heavier and heavier blessings and bigger things that we can move into. But we have to show, hey man, I'm in this. I'm full bore into this. I'm both feet. We're in the water. I'm ready to swim. Let's do it. Nothing's going to pull me under. Nothing's going to take me back to shore. I'm out here. God, it's me and you. I'm dedicated. And I think that dedication sometimes is what begins to help us gain strength to go on to the next step. And what happens in the next step is God actually begins to prepare us for whatever we're going to lay hold of in that promise. And we see that with Joseph as well. When we go back to the last step that he experienced here, we see that his last step was preparation. And we see that whenever he was, basically the story goes, you know, Potiphar's wife gets crazy on him, says all kinds of things that weren't true about him. He gets thrown in jail, and God, while he's in jail, begins to exercise a gift in him that also is going to lift him to a position of even higher authority in the kingdom, which will eventually be where his brothers see him as the one that's lifted up. So what we're looking at here in chapter 40 of Genesis, verses 8 through 23, a little bit of a narrative here. Hang out with me. One of these days I might do it in a different voice or something to change up the pace on it when we read these long scriptures. So basically, what to kind of set the context here, Joseph's in jail. These two guys who were part of Pharaoh's court, I guess, there was a baker and a cupbearer, they come to him and they tell him that they had dreams. And that's where we start in verse 8. So verse 8 says, "We had dreams," they said to him, "but there is no one to interpret them." And then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands." And then verse 12, this is Joseph speaking again, says, "This is its interpretation," Joseph said. "There are three branches. The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon." So then verse 16 says, "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. Three baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.'" And this is his interpretation. Joseph replied, "In the three baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off of you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat their flesh from the body. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph explained to him. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him." So what happens here is Joseph begins to exercise this gift that God gives him. And he does that in preparation to be able to move into his new position. Shortly hereafter, Pharaoh will have a dream, and Joseph is called on to interpret Pharaoh's dream. After that, it's interpreted. Joseph is moved into a position of basically second in command over the whole kingdom that Pharaoh reigned over. And a lot of times in our life, we begin to see, as we move closer to a promise of God, He begins to reveal certain gifts in our life that are going to allow us to make the most of that promise. And I think with Joseph, he had to be separated from his family. He had to move into another place, get away from them, get out of the situation he was in. He had to prove his dedication to God through that sanctification era that he was working through. And then also in this preparation, God began to reveal a gift in him to interpret dreams that would allow him to achieve that position of authority. And I think that's really common in our lives. When we begin to work through this process, when we get from beginning and we're working toward the end and we're prepping for it, God begins to reveal certain things in us that He's gifted us with. We begin to see that, oh, maybe I have a gift to pray for people, or maybe I can sing and I didn't even know it, or maybe I can speak the word. Sometimes that comes out, and whether that's as pastor or as a layperson or however that goes, or whatever area that is, God begins to reveal these gifts. And then that promise will be, a lot of times, will be related to that gift, and that gift will help us fulfill that promise in a way that is, I guess, the way God ordained it. It helps us to be able to do that better. So, where are we right now? We look at this, we feel like, maybe you're sitting there, and a long time ago, you feel like God promised you something. God said, hey, I've got this for you. Or you were praying and you really felt like this was a direction you were supposed to go for God. Or this was something that you were going to achieve as a Christian. And along the way, you've gotten frustrated. You've gotten just upset because you're not there. Well, sometimes God's kind of looking at us and He's like, hey, you need some time to process this. We need to work through some things. And this was over the course of the majority of Joseph's life. So sometimes these things that we expect to come straight from God and it just be an instantaneous thing are over a long period of time where God is prepping us to get to that point. Because a lot of times we feel like when, you know, if somebody were to come to me and be like, hey, Logan, I want you to manage my Fortune 500 company. You could do it. I would do it. I'd probably go tomorrow. But I know that I'm not equipped for that. And a lot of times God has that promise that's equivalent to that to us in the spiritual realm, but I don't have an MBA. I don't have any experience in that. I don't even know what a Fortune 500 company would really look like on the inside of it. I've never had a corner office, anything like that. So for me to just jump from where I'm at right now to managing that and being the CEO of that company would be silly. And no boss in their right mind would do that. And God does the same thing. God has to take us through this kind of school of things and allow us to get our degree in these through this process to be able to achieve that promise and to be able to lay hold of that thing that He's given us that seems like one of the ultimate goals of our life. And we can look at that as a specific thing. We could look at that as like a level that we are hierarchy that we could achieve, or we could just think about it as, man, getting to go to heaven. Sometimes we kind of have to work on that and work to be effective and work to find out our gifts and what are we supposed to do and how are we supposed to use this or handle that, or what are we going to do here when this comes against us, or how are we going to prove ourselves when we're in this difficult situation. And God then will reward us with that promise at the end of time. So if you're stuck in that middle, if you're stuck in that hallway where you feel like you're just walking and walking and walking, you've come out of one door but the next door hasn't opened yet, man, keep walking, keep moving, keep going, keep doing that same thing every day, that godly life, that godly walk, and be encouraged because it's part of the plan. The Israelites wandered for a long time in the wilderness. They started out on something that should have taken no time and it had taken 40 years. But it was God. I heard a pastor say this not too long ago. He was taking them from a mindset of slavery and building warriors, but it took a long time to do that. And had they gone from slaves to conquerors and stuck in that situation immediately, they would have been overtaken. So where you are right now is where God wants you to be. Continue to move forward. Continue to work toward those promises that God has for you. But also, don't be discouraged in the long run. Find the victories that you can see on the daily. Find those things that hopefully these will show you some milestones to get to say, oh, okay, I separated from this a long time ago. Oh, okay, I see that here I'm learning how to resist temptation. And sometimes that temptation and showing that dedication is not falling into worry or anxiety or just that distressed mindset, and showing that we got trust in God and we know that He's going to take us. And when we move beyond that, we see that we can get into the preparation of what God would have us to do. So be encouraged where you are. God's got a plan for you. It is an awesome one, and He made you for a specific purpose, even though some days it doesn't feel like it. And I'm excited for what God's going to do for you, and I'm excited about what God's going to do in our church, individually and corporately as well. We'll get ready to pray tonight. I'm going to pray for you guys and just our church as a whole, and just to help us with that. God, we thank You for today. I thank You that You do give us promises, but You're also smart enough not to hand them out to us immediately. You're also aware of the plan that makes us have to go through a process to be able to get where You want us to be. And along that process, we learn things that are going to make us more effective at that end. And I'm so thankful for that, because I know in my life, had You placed me in a position of where I am today, I don't feel like I would be as effective as a husband, as a father, as a man, as I would be, unless I worked through those things and was able to overcome the hurdles that You've helped me overcome. And I know that You have the same plan for our church family. And God, I pray that You would be with those who are discouraged right now and are just struggling in that spot and feeling like, man, they're right in the middle and You've just stranded them and they're just out at sea and nobody's around and you've got to have forgotten about them. But I pray that You just help them remember just to swim. Just take off swimming. And You're going to be there to give them strength, and You're going to be there to show them the way. And if they just seek after You, that You're going to be there to help them find that purpose eventually. And You're going to help them find that gift and that promise that they feel like may have been so long ago. I'm so thankful for You and how much You love us and how much You care about us. And You don't just care enough about us to save us from hell. You care enough about us to build us into better human beings and better people, more like You every day. If we'll just let You do it and get out of the way, You've got such an awesome thing set up for us. Thank You for all that You are. Thank You for this church. Thank You for our family in this church. Thank You for the things that You're doing here. And I pray that You would continue to use us to minister to our community. I pray that You would use us to minister to lost souls around here. And this church would just be a beacon, God, to those around us that just screams Your name at the top of our lungs, and to show who You are to the community every day. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for hanging out, spending some time with me. I'm excited about next week, too. We'll jump right in. We'll do the same thing at 7 o'clock. Hope you guys have a good week.